challenge seems to be whether or not the makers of the GM foods, those who hold the patents for them, are willing to lower their economic expectations from selling that product. At the moment, there's a strong pushback from farmers who seem to are quite worried about being locked into having to use certain chemicals or certain pesticides, whether they can return to more organic methods of farming if they choose not to maintain their use of GM crops. And that's a huge fear for the farming community. Others are quite open. They've already said, no, I'm going GM and that's fine, we're going to embrace it wholeheartedly. At the same time, though, you've got the public's perception of whether GM foods are an effective choice for them, and we're seeing that start to emerge with requests for more effective labelling. So there's a strong challenge ahead over the next 10 years. Whether it has an effective role to play, I think the jury's still well out on that.
What's your view as to where we'll see GM crops grown in the landscape?
Oh, there's certainly a strong series of behind-the-scenes lobbying from multinational corporations to try and get GM grown as widespread as possible. The key fear for those who do straight organic farming is that once their land or area is infected with a GM strain, they can't maintain their own access to the market using an organic label. So they've got some strong fears there. I expect to see that increasing push for Victoria to go GM. Tasmania's arguably the clean health area of the world in terms of being able to grow really good natural foods. They're going to hold out for a long time, but it won't be long, you would think, until the dollars start to speak. But that will be an area of intense public debate.
You're also of the opinion that we'll see GM grown in the future in the cities. How will that be done?
Yeah, I think the potential there, and this is where I think the GM makers have sort of missed the mark a little bit at the moment. They're trying to get the weight, if you like, for carrying their product out into the farming communities, where I think realistically we start to see the idea of a vertical farm. And a vertical farm could be where a purpose-built or a converted high-storey building forms a farming mechanism. And I think if GM went down that road where the makers GM said, OK, we'll build the infrastructure and we'll grow our own GM food in an enclosed environment where it has less likelihood of escaping out of the atmosphere, then you're going to see a fairly strong push towards embracing GM from a consumer point of view, because one of the debates in the possibility of infecting farmlands is suddenly taken out of the process. So I think if GM makers want their product to be more widely embraced by the public, they're the ones that need to go to a vertical farming model where they grow it inside high-storey buildings and they can convert old office blocks to do that.
That sounds like it's a fair way down the track, though. Is there any work being done on that already?
Oh, there's a lot of work being done on the creation of this idea of vertical farming. Certainly some large architects throughout the United States, a couple here in Australia, are looking to the type of models that can be utilised, and you know, anyone who's interested can go to one of the search engines and type in vertical farming and see some of the things that are on offer. The concept itself is very interesting. I think it's still a little bit raw, but I wouldn't think it'd be as far away as people think. And to an extent, if you're looking for a precursor for the local community, the local public, we're starting to see the creation of vertical walls, edible gardens inside people's homes. Now, that's only a minor step before you go from that to a larger scale version, and the larger scale version then becomes the large full-blown vertical farm inside an office block.